with an hour of classic comedy and a show that's proved beyond doubt that the simplest ideas are often the best. All you need for this one is a stopwatch, a whistle, and a nice man to say,
"Welcome to Just a Minute." Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four outstanding players of Just a Minute who have joined me this week. We welcome two young comedians who have shone in Just a Minute with such excellence we cannot let them go. That is Paul Merton and Graham Norton. And two other comedians of a different generation who've shone equally well for more years than the other two. That is Peter Jones and Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, and she's going to keep the score, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And as usual, I will ask our four players of the game to speak, if they can, on the subject that I give them, and they will try and do that, as usual, without hesitating, repeating themselves, or deviating from the subject which is on the card in front of me. And we begin the show this week with Paul Merton, and who better? Paul, what an interesting subject. Pressing the flesh. Would you talk about that in this game starting now?
I love sausages, I really do, and there's nothing I enjoy more than getting up in the middle of the night and getting a couple of chipolatas out of the old fridge and giving them a squeeze like that, and it's wonderfully exotic for me and a fairly sensuous experience, I should say. I don't know how the sausage itself reflects on this. It might be, as far as it's concerned, rather inconvenient to be woken up in the middle of the night, but I...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Repetition.
Of what?
Middle of the night.
The middle of the night, yes. Clement, you have a correct challenge. So you take over the subject of pressing the flesh. There are 35 seconds available starting now.
Pressing the flesh is another way of saying shaking hands. A very important function for any politician. A practice which I pursued for some 15 years. And it was very difficult because people tried to give you a sort of message as their hand grasped yours. And you said, you...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of hand.
No, hands and hand.
Yes. Yes, it was the same as you had sausage and sausages on the first time.
Yeah.
So we have to listen very carefully, Paul.
Yes, we do, yeah.
And so it was an incorrect challenge, so Clement has another point for that. He keeps the subject. There are 16 seconds on pressing the flesh starting now.
You are a Freemason, I would say. No, I have arthritis, was the reply. It became very difficult. But it is something, pressing the flesh is a wonderful way of getting to know people because...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, you did have people before. Sorry, Clement.
Can't shake hands with non-people.
Paul, you've gone in with 4 seconds to go on pressing the flesh, starting now.
During Nicholas Parsons' porno film career, I was often called upon to press the flesh.
The audience are in a slight state of shock after that, because they don't know whether it's true or not.
It's true.
It is true, Zach. Whoever is speaking when the whistle is blown gains an extra point. And on this occasion it was Paul Merton who also got another point for correct challenge in the round. So he's equal in the lead with Clement Freud at the end. Jones, will you take the next round? The subject, the millennium. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Well, there's a difference of opinion about when it actually takes place, whether it's in 1999 or 2000. And then, of course, I was talking to someone just before the show started about this, and the Albert Hall, apparently, has been booked about 65 times by a similar number of people for one of these nights, or in fact both of them, I believe. So they've got double figures there. We shall be doing Just a Minute, of course. It'll be the 30th episode, I think. The 30th series, rather, I should say.
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of 30th.
Yes, it will be 30th.
And
well, no, it won't be. It'll be the actually 34th series.
Really?
Yes.
Are we doing two a year?
No, this is the 29th series.
Is it?
Four, yes.
Good. So,
yeah. I thought it was the 30th series.
No, it'll be the 33rd series, and we're just starting the 34th of the millennium.
Really?
So make a note in your diaries now.
Paul, I agree with your challenge. The audience couldn't care less about what I've just said, and 28 seconds available for the millennium starting now.
Well, as Peter says, some people will celebrate it in the year 2000, whereas strictly speaking...
Peter Jones' challenge.
Repetition. What? He admitted it. He said, as Peter said, and then he said, what I said.
Yes, but you have been established. If you remember...
You can't just repeat something the other person said.
That's right.
Peter, when you were here a few weeks ago, and Paul had exactly the same challenge on you, and I explained that you can repeat what somebody else has said in the round, but you cannot repeat what you said yourself.
You've obviously got a photographic memory. I can't remember being here, let alone what you said.
I don't remember a word of it.
No, he doesn't.
I don't remember that at all, Nicholas.
You don't remember it? No. Well,
it was weeks ago. How could you remember?
I have that kind of recall, Paul.
Do you really?
God, it must be a terrible burden. Yeah. What a heavy load you carry around.
So you can repeat what was said. So I don't know who challenged who then. I think it was Peter challenged Paul, didn't he?
Yeah.
Right. So, Paul, you still have the subject. 23 seconds. The millennium starting now.
Of course, it should be accurately reported that the millennium will happen in the year 2001. Stanley Kubrick made a wonderful film which was called that very thing. The title, of course, was a wonderful... I'm not...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of course.
Yes, right. 7 seconds available for the millennium with you, Clement, starting now.
I believe the Albert Hall has been booked.
Four challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I know, he's tied up. 3 seconds with you, Paul. The millennium starting now.
Now, you may not know this, but you can actually book the Albert Hall for the year 2000.
So Paul Merton once again was speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's in a strong lead ahead of Clement Freud. Graham Norton and Peter Jones have yet to make their mark, and Graham, it is your turn to begin. The subject, Jim. Will you tell us something about Jim in just a minute, starting now?
Jim is an abbreviation of the word gymnasium, a place I love to go. The only problem is I do find it a bit confusing because there's so many machines and pieces of apparatus, perhaps apparati, I don't really know. But the piece of equipment I like the best is long and you need to pull down on it. It's called... the sunbed.
Oh. Clement, you challenge.
Well, until he said sunbed, it was going to be deviation, but I...
So you try to anticipate a challenge, which is very shrewd, but on this occasion you tripped yourself up. An incorrect challenge, Graham. So you keep the subject. And you have 33 seconds to continue on Jim, starting now.
Jim has just opened a shop underneath my flat. It was empty for months. I can't tell you the worry. Could you think someone will break in? They'll squat the thing. But happily, Jim has rented it now. And he's started a small business there. He doesn't stock very much. Generally just pot noodle and old papers. But still, it's something in the morning when you're feeling a bit peckish. And you think, ooh, what will I have? I'll go and ask Jim. And sure enough, Jim is... there. And he's even said to me on more than one occasion, Graham, don't you worry. I'll order things in special. And I said, Jim, don't fuss.
So Graham Norton started with the subject and in spite of an interruption in the middle, kept going with the subject. Gained that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and whose turn is it to begin? It's Clement. Clement, crosswords. Will you tell us something about crosswords in this game, starting now?
Damn, bum, drat, bother are the sort of crosswords that spring to mind. There are also competitions in many newspapers, usually on the back page, in which you're given clues both down and across. And there are those, like my dear wife, who spend an awful lot of time solving the questions and giving the correct answers in exactly the right number of letters placed into the appropriate squares. And I admire that sort of knowledge hugely, and am myself totally unable to comply with the instructions printed on the media paper which we purchase or is brought every day of the week. Also on Sundays, where crosswords are marvellously diverse and give prizes of considerable value to those who solve answers and questions exactly as they are placed.
A Peter Jones challenge.
You don't solve answers.
Do you?
You can't solve an answer.
A very shrewd challenge, Peter, yes. And you very cleverly got in with only 3 seconds to go. So, crosswords is with you, Peter, and there are 3 seconds starting now.
John Gielgud is a great crossword player, and he...
So Peter Jones and Graham Norton are in third place, Clement Freud in second place behind our leader Paul Merton. And Paul, once more, it is your turn to begin. And the subject is turning the other cheek. You have 60 seconds as usual starting now.
I think this is a rather bad piece of advice, because if you turn the other cheek, good chance are you'll get the other one slapped just as hard as the first one was. I think it's a much better way to deal with life by saying, get your retaliation in first. This is the complete opposite of turning the other cheek, but those people who are so meek and mild where you hit them and they say, I don't care, look, I shall turn my face, I present the other side of my visage for you to strike also, and they hit them again, and they, what can you do with these people? It's obviously a completely...
Peter Jones challenge.
Repetition of people.
There were too many people there, yes, turning their cheeks. All right. Yes. 30 seconds available for you to tell us something about turning the other cheek, Peter, starting now.
It does smack of masochism, in my opinion. I think if you do that, then you deserve all you've got coming to you. And it wouldn't be my advice to a child who was slapped in the face, or grown up for that matter.
I think
yes, I was just trying to think of something else to say just to keep that dreary monologue going.
It's tough in just a minute. 14 seconds available. Turning the other cheek, Clement, starting now.
Turning the other cheek is the opposite instruction to do unto others and run like hell. When Cynthia Payne stood for Parliament at a by-election, I suggested that she embraced as her motto...
Graham, you challenge.
Well, I did for hesitation, but I'm dying to know what you told Cynthia.
I know. Do you want to finish the round, then we might discover
if
what...
If you give me an extra point, I'll tell you what I...
Graham, 1 second. Turning the other cheek, starting now.
Frank Comcheeks!
Right. Clement, see if you can earn that extra point.
I did suggest that she use as her motto, if you can't join them, beat them.
We enjoyed it, Clement. There we are. You get your bonus. Peter Jones, your turn to begin. The big cheese. With you, Peter, starting now.
Well, there are lots of very big cheeses. Gouda is one of them, made in a village in the Netherlands, and they make Edam as well in an adjacent place. Then, of course, there's Gruyère in Switzerland, which also comes from another town of the same name as the cheese. But mostly, and what a boring subject this is, it is concerned with politicians pressing the flesh. And usually, they are, if they press enough flesh, they become a big cheese. And they are highly thought of individuals, or perhaps they are people who are terrified of them, I don't know, as with the mafia. A lot of them belong to it, no doubt.
Clement Freud is challenged.
Hesitation,
yes, I would grab that one. The big cheese is with you, Clement. There are 11 seconds available, starting now.
Signor Agnelli, who is the president of Fiat in Italy, once said, and he is a big cheese, if you wish to run a successful company, you need an uneven number of directors. And three is too many.
Clement Freud speaking as the whistleman gained that extra point, and he has taken the lead ahead of Paul Merton at the end of that round. Graham Norton, it is your turn to begin. The subject is common. Will you tell us something about common in just a minute, starting now?
Often common is seen as a sort of derogatory term. And how depressing it is in the winter when you get a bit of a headache and your nose is running and you're coughing and you go to the doctor looking for sympathy and all he can say is, you've got a common cold. And you just think, well, what? Did I catch it from chips? And will people come to my bedside with plastic roses wrapped in tabloid newspapers? This is horrific. Why can't they call it something else? Common, it's not a nice word, and I don't think it should be used. I think people in the medical...
Clement Freud-Chan.
Thank you.
Think twice, repetition.
Yes, 23 seconds, but common, Clement, with you starting now.
Wandsworth Common and Clapham Common are the commons that I'm most fond of. But you will find commons in the counties of Suffolk and Norfolk, Cambridgeshire, Hereford, Hertfordshire, Buckinghamshire. A common I particularly enjoy is one in the county of Hereford. Beautiful.
Yes.
Lush, verdant.
Hesitation. There was hesitation, because he said Hereford before, that's why.
Hartford.
He was waiting for the challenge and nobody came in.
Hartford.
But hesitation happened. 2 seconds available. Common with you, Paul, starting...
Well, I agree with what everybody says about this subject.
Paul Merton was speaking. Was when gained that extra point, and he has moved forward, but he's still 1 point behind our leader, Clement Freud. Clement, it's your turn to begin A Dog's Dinner. Something that you would have never served in your restaurant, but will you talk about it? 60 seconds starting now.
It used to be very difficult for people who had dogs who wanted to go on holiday to ensure that the dog's dinner arrived while they were away in Benidorm or wherever. But a company has now invented something called a dog's dinner disposal unit machine, into which you put a dozen or more sachets of whatever disgusting viands.
Graham Norton challenge.
I think this is a bit nonsense. Why would it be a dog dinner disposal machine? A dog is a dog dinner disposal machine.
So what is your challenge then?
Philosophy.
It should be dispenser, surely. Surely. It would dispense the dinner, not dispose of it.
Graham, and as whether it dispenses or disposes, it doesn't matter. He wasn't actually technically deviating from the subject.
And how does the dog get it out of the sachet?
No.
He's just full of holes. He's making it
up. I think every day a little door opens, the dog sees the sachet, the door closes, the next day the same thing happens again. Enough to send your dog round the twist, isn't it? It's like, well, they used to torture people in prisons like that, in old spy films, don't they? The thing comes round, there's your dinner, you go for it, and it closes, you can't get it.
In this age of dog-eat-dog, I would have thought a dog would be the best dinner for a dog. Wouldn't it?
Graham, I can't agree with the challenge, as good as it was. Clement, you still have the subject. 36 seconds are available. A dog's dinner starting now.
A dog's dinner is also the expression used to describe unpalatable food which is put before persons, men, women, children, or any other species of humanity. Sir Walter Scott, when he was in the South Arctic seas, before he escaped...
Was Sir Walter Scott ever in the... Sir Walter Scott, he was a novelist, wasn't he?
Sir Walter Scott in the South Seas and escaping. I mean, the whole thing is getting so bizarre. It sounded like a Paul Merton flight of fantasy. You are right. It was quite devious. 17 seconds for a dog's dinner with you, Paul, starting now.
The perfect thing for a dog's dinner is a big cheese. And when I say that, I refer to the Bee Gees, who actually had a hit with Saturday Night Fever in 1977. What a great band they were. I would willingly feed them to any animal, whether it be canine or feline. I wouldn't care, particularly the one in the middle, Barry. I think any Alsatian would be more than happy.
Well, Paul Merton got points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went, and has moved forward. He's now one ahead of Clement Freud. Graham Norton and Peter Jones are equal in third place, a little way behind. And, Paul, it is your turn to begin. Fudge.
60 seconds, starting now.
If you want your dog to stop barking, give it fudge. It won't be able to move its mouth, because the trouble with fudge is it's so sticky. I don't actually like this stuff. I've had it a couple of times when you have to go to some professional fudge day where celebrities have cooked fudge and you have to test which is the best fudge. Is it Melvin Hayes or has Wendy Craig won it for the third year running? And you go along to these things. Derek Nimmo, in fact, came fourth one year with a remarkable fudge, which turned out to be something nicked from Nicholas Parsons, and it was a great, terrible scene as the two of them had a massive fight in the beer tent, bottles of Kaiser being smashed all over the place. Nicholas, I remember, was absolutely steaming.
A tennis ball challenger.
Two Nicholases.
Two Nicholas. I know, what a pity. Oh, they feel they can't have too much of Nicholas.
Three people clap there.
I know.
Three out of 300.
I know.
Two of them were being bullied by the other one.
Clement, he did repeat Nicholas, and there are 21 seconds available for you to tell us something about fudge, starting now.
Quite apart from the sweetmeat fudge, fudge typographically is what used to be called stop press, a page which had a little square on it, which could be replaced by further news without resetting the whole newspaper. And fudging was something editors were very keen on.
Well, it is nip and tuck, as they say, because Clement Freud is now one ahead of Paul Merton. And Peter Jones, it's your turn to begin. The subject is saloons. Will you tell us something about saloons in just a minute, starting now?
Well, they're a cut above the public bars rule, and I've known a number of pleasant saloons. Most of them have been modernised, and they're not nearly as nice as they were before that. But I'm not a great pub goer, so I'm not really very qualified to speak on the subject of saloons for any length of time, not even a minute. But Clement Freud would tell you that he knows saloons in Hertfordshire, Herefordshire, Devonshire, Cornwall, Northumberland and elsewhere. And I'm sure he does, and very nice they are. They sell crisps and wine in automatic dispensers, or disposals, as it's called. I don't know. But the actual beverage isn't very nice. When it comes out of these containers, we'll call them, and the water and the beer is generally tends to be...
Well, that hasn't happened for quite a long time. Someone began with a subject and finished with a subject. 2 points to Peter Jones. Graham Norton, it is your turn to begin. The subject, bucket shops. Will you tell us something about those? I'm sure it falls into your area of knowledge. 60 seconds starting now.
Bucket shops, once a thriving industry, have never really recovered from the blow dealt to them by the introduction of indoor plumbing. There was a time when every high street in the land had a bucket shop. There were chains of them. Buckets are Oz. House of Buckets. World of Buckets. Over the richer people.
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, this could go either way, but repetition of buckets, because it's bucket on the card.
I know, isn't that mean? It's bucket on the card, and you were doing this.
Paul, I could go. I know. I've known this decision to go one way, then the other, then back again. No. I think he secretly tosses a coin in his pocket. He's doing something up there anyway.
That's quite impressive.
Oh. Looks like heads from where I'm sitting.
How low can you take it?
Well, I don't know. You tell us, Nicholas. 10p piece, I've heard.
Oh, well. I'm glad they laugh. It shows I'm a good sport. But he did repeat buckets, so I've got to be fair in just a minute. Paul, a correct challenge, 36 seconds. Will you tell us something about bucket shops starting now?
Well, I don't know enough about them, really, so I think you should give the subject back to Graham.
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was hesitation. Clement, 32 seconds on Bucket Shops, starting now.
Bucket Shops is a name given to travel agents who are not bound by some altruistic charter, and therefore they can sell flights which don't necessarily exist. What is so miserable about Bucket Shops is that you sit on a plane and you have no idea whether the person sitting next to you... I've said sitting twice now, but I'm sorry.
Peter, you're like him on that.
Repetition of sitting.
Yes, that's right. Well done, Peter. Right. 13 seconds. Bucket Shop, starting now.
You can get them at Ironmongers. And I once had an Italian...
Clement Freud's house.
You can't get
you
a bucket shop
buy a bucket
at Bucket
Shop. Shop.
Bucket. You get buckets. Whittled it down to buckets.
Oh, I see. You mean a bucket shop is a shop that sells buckets. Right. So that was an incorrect challenge. And you have a point. And there are 9 seconds for you to continue on Bucket Shops, starting now.
I once heard an Italian describe it as an iron mangiare shop.
You couldn't describe it because it's bucket shops.
No, he had interpreted the subject, as I understood it, to shops that sell buckets. So, there are 5 seconds for you to continue on Bucket Shops, Peter, starting now.
Well, I don't know any shop that sells buckets is a bucket shop, as far as I'm concerned.
Then he should stop talking about it.
So the only thing I can do is to give the benefit of the doubt to Peter Jones, and so you have half a second on Bucket Shops, starting now, Peter.
Yes.
So Peter came from nowhere in that round and gained a number
went
of
back
points.
There afterwards.
Graham Norton in fourth place, then Peter Jones. Paul Merton is behind our leader, Clement Freud, only 1 point behind him. I mention that fact because we are now entering the last round of the show, and it is Clement Freud to begin, and the subject is Making Waves, starting now.
It seems to me that the subject of making waves when you are 1 point ahead in just a minute is not one which is conducive to winning a game, because it is simply too difficult to explain the manufacture of oscillation on the water in the number of seconds which I will have to spin out my monologue in order to explain this to the good people sitting here in this theatre waiting for me to stumble or fall. Get into a bathtub and move your hand backwards and forwards, and you'll be surprised how many waves will appear on the surface of the water, causing great...
Paul Merton challenge.
Repetition of surface.
Yes.
Really?
Yes, yes.
I think well, someone's in love with you out there. Okay? No, he did repeat that. So, Paul, you have the subject of making waves, and there are 22 seconds left starting now.
Wave-making machines have become very popular in swimming pools up and down the country. Local town councils have got involved in, invested in these particular apparatus, and they are very popular with people.
Graham Norton challenge.
Was there a popular?
Yes, two populars there. 8 seconds for you, Graham, on making waves starting now.
Making waves is something that David Copperfield, the magician's hairdresser, seems to do over time, I feel. In the mistaken...
And so Graham Norton aptly brought the show to a close, gained an extra point for doing so. It remains for me to give you the final score. Graham Norton did magnificently. He contributed so much. But he doesn't make many points. I don't know why. But it is the contribution, which we love, Graham. Peter Jones, I can say the same thing about him. He's been doing it, making an amazing contribution for a large number of years. But he's got quite a few points. But a great contribution came from the other two players again. And very aptly, they both finished up with an equal number of points. So a very apt situation to say, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, you tie to be called the winners this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to our four outstanding players of the game. Also, I must thank Elaine Wigley for keeping the score so well, blowing her whistle so delicately, our producer, Anne Jobson, in Messeter. for thinking of the game, and also from me, Nicholas Parsons. We do hope you've enjoyed it. Be at the end of your radio sets the next time we take to the air to play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye!
And there's another chance to beat the stopwatch tomorrow, when the subjects include tripe and the cat's whiskers. So get practicing.